Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sleigh bells ring.
Oh, good God.
Are you listening?
Oh, God.
Are you listening?
Can you stop it? Because someone's...
Are you listening?
Stop it now. Because someone's going to be listening to this in July.
Are you listening?
And it's bad luck to hear Christmas carols and probably sleigh bells in July. I don't mind a Christmas story, but that's too much.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
If you're wondering what we're going to do to make it a festive edition of Adrift.
That was it.
That was it. Yeah.
I've got some festive things.
And Annabelle poured Cold World Scroogey over there.
I'm terrible with that.
No cheeses for us. Mises, you going to watch Muppet Christmas Carol?
Probably not, no.
You should, it's good.
Is it on the TV?
I don't know.
Yeah, but somewhere these days. It's not like it's 1984.
No. If you want to watch something, you can watch it.
Yeah, that's a silly question.
It's good. Why wouldn't you watch it? What's your problem?
No problem. I just hadn't even thought about it.
What have you thought about watching?
Boat Story.
It's very good.
I love Boat Story. Yeah. All I want to do is watch Boat Story.
It's not seasonal, though, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. I know.
Any Christmas traditions? Anything you watch every year?
No, that's a thing. I know you've got them. You've got the Muppet Christmas Carol and you've got that other one. What's that famous one? White Christmas.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Did I talk about that last week?
No.
So Sarah and I went to see it at the Pictures. I've seen it at the Pictures every year since 1992, with the exception of the year that when you couldn't because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And we usually see it closer to Christmas, but for one reason or another, we needed to get it out of the way earlier in the month.
Right.
And I love it. I love it. I have a laundry list of amusing, pithy observations about it, but that would be lost on you.
Mm.
But I really love that film. But we'd had a row on the way there.
Oh, no.
On the bus. So we didn't go in a good frame of mind. To the extent, like outside the cinema, I said, why don't you just go off and have a drink with your friend Becky and I'll go and watch this on my own.
Oh, goodness. That's bad.
Yeah. So I didn't bring the right festive energy to it. But do you know the basic premise of the film?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, so you know, just in case anybody doesn't, I'm using Annabelle as a proxy for you here. It's an old film, 1946, I think, and it's telling the story of, I guess, like a man's life and an unfortunate series of events take him to a point where he becomes suicidal. And then he is visited by an angel who gives him the gift of seeing what life would be like if he wasn't there. So in other words, he goes around, you know, he sees the lives of his family and friends and his town and how different it would be if he hadn't been born.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of the cinema and the mood, it had been a bit of a reset for the mood. But then I made the mistake of saying, do you know, thinking this year as I was watching that, I do think possibly some people's lives would just be better if I'd never been born.
Oh, no.
I do. I'm not going to name them. But
I'm not going to name them.
I
oh, my God.
So instead of right, really appreciating the value of life, because that's what it's about, appreciating the value of life and the difference you make in the world through acts of kindness. Like, it made me think, oh, I think some people just things would have gone better for them if I hadn't been around.
That's so depressing.
I think it's
your
true.
Poor wife. Did you include her?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my God. That's even worse. Oh, what?
Oh.
I think you need to stop watching that film.
I love it so
much. I haven't got what you and Sarah both have of liking to watch the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I've seen it now. Don't need to see it again.
A lot of people are like that, and I think to their credit. But here's what I think is wrong. Here's what I think is would make me sad about that.
Yeah.
It is that there's loads of culture out there, loads of it. Very small proportion of it is good. So if you're only watching new things, I think you'd be watching a lot of mediocre things.
You're going to run out.
Yes.
What about books? I don't think you could ever run out of good books to read, ever. I wouldn't. I very rarely read the same book twice.
Here's the difference, though. It's the amount of time it takes to read a book.
Okay.
So if you're a reader, you're getting through a book a week?
Maybe,
a book every 10
2
days.
Weeks, yeah.
You're burning through other culture faster than that.
Okay.
Also, the reason I like rewatching things is I remember that I really like them, but I've got such a bad memory for detail. I'm constantly surprised by them.
Yeah.
Like, it's always amazing to me how much I can watch comedy over and over again, because by its very nature, a joke surprises you. You laugh, and then it's not funny anymore. But I must have gone through Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm so many times. And I'll often watch an episode and have no memory of ever having watched it before.
Oh, well, that's the beauty of a bad memory. The beauty of it.
So, say, I'm trying to think of like a, say, what's a film that you and, I'm trying to think like a film that you've liked, for example. A film, Another Round, I think we talked about last week on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just like remember that?
I need the vague outline.
So then you're going to be surprised by it when you watch it again, right?
Yeah, but...
And it's good.
Okay, what I'm going to do, 2024 is going to be my year of just watching the same things over and over again.
I love a rewatch.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
I love a rewatch.
I mean, I've watched Grease a lot of times.
Yes.
But that was when I was a child.
I think you've watched it quite a few times as an adult.
Probably.
Yeah. You've sent me some links, some clippings.
Oh, are you going to use some? Go on then.
I was thinking of mine.
Okay.
This first one, why are we seeing more standing ovations in theatres?
Oh, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
It's on the BBC's website.
Mm.
And according to theatregoers, critics, industry experts, there's been a significant increase in standing ovations at shows, and it is thought that the pandemic has accelerated the trend, with the absence of theatre during COVID lockdowns making audiences more appreciative.
Okay.
Audiences are also jumping to their feet midway through performances.
No.
Rather than just at the end.
No, they're not.
That's what it says here.
No, they're not. That's weird.
I think... So I understand... I understand that after the pandemic, people were glad to be out again and appreciated what it was to be out. But I'd have thought that just manifesting going out a bit more, not in... Like, what, really savouring a play while you're watching it and jumping to your feet. That seems odd to me.
It's very odd for the person behind you as well. Very annoying.
I've talked about this before, but I despise a standing ovation so much.
But tell me why. Because you think it's showy? Because you feel like you have to join in?
Right, yes.
Right.
I can give you three things, right? Number one, I think the person who starts a standing ovation... is a terrible person.
There's a lot of confidence going on there.
But it's not just confidence, is it? So there's the confidence in that people are going to join you, but it's like wanting to be the first. It's like there's a narcissism to being the person who's like, I'm going to start this. I'm the leader of this audience.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that doesn't speak well of a person.
Okay.
Number two, if I can be sitting... In any given situation, the closest to horizontal I can be, the better. Now, in most situations, horizontal isn't an option. So sitting is the next big thing. don't make me stand up, especially in a theatre where the seat's going to go behind me and flip up again.
Then so I go, annoying.
And then go, like, slide
and
back
you,
down.
And you I don't like it when my coat gets trapped.
No.
Sorry for it.
And then here's the other thing that I think the standing ovation does. Mm. It forces you into having to judge the point at which you... So here's what I feel like it looks like when you don't join in with the standing ovation straight away. Like, you're going, it was great. Go on then. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's this real emotional journey going on inside of you until eventually, you got me. I'm going to say yes. Like it's this great, sort of, I don't know what, moment, this little peak or something. And I don't like being forced into that either.
Mm-mm-mm.
I hate standing ovations.
What we should all do is let that confident person start it. And then let them stand there on their own.
Oh, that'd teach them, wouldn't it? Bring them down a peg or two.
And then how long
and
would it
take? And the actors while you're at it.
And the actors.
Yeah. Standing there waiting for people to clap for them. No, you know, conversely, you know, I'm easily moved to tears. Mm. But you know that that one thing that is almost always guaranteed to move me to tears is seeing the actors take a bow at the end of...
It's extremely emotional.
I find it extremely emotional. Even if something was terrible, I think just that they're up there and they got through it and they're looking at each other and like, we did it, guys. That's a nice
How
moment.
How would you feel if they did it on TV shows, came out and did a little bow?
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, really, why don't they?
Yeah.
Would you feel in any way the emotion? God, I'd love it. We should campaign for them to do this. The more I think about it, the more I think it'd be amazing.
I'd like them at the end of every TV show to turn the cameras around. And then you see all the people who work and they're like hugging each other and high-fiving and stuff. You know that American show Saturday Night Live, which I think they did show over here for a bit, but it's one of these things that everybody in America thinks, like if you reference it, everybody will know what you're talking about because all the sketches are so famous when it's... You can find some of it on YouTube, but I think like a lot of it is quite unknown over here. Okay. And one thing that I was surprised by when I would spend time courting my now wife in the States is we'd watch it. And I'll tell you something about that show before I make my point.
Mm.
That is a long, long evening.
Oh, is it?
Here's what I think about that show. I think the way you have seen it is the best way to watch it. In other words, you've seen a clip of the funniest bits edited down. Because when you watch it live, it goes on forever. A lot of it isn't that funny. And the sketches, every single one of them goes on five times as long as it needs to.
No.
Yeah. So I think of a sketch show as something that, you know, like a fast show.
Yeah.
Where it's a minute, 2 minutes, and then you're out. Saturday Night Live sketches go on forever. I'm guessing for logistical reasons.
Okay.
But they just, every joke is ground into the... Even if you think something's genuinely funny, and there are some brilliant moments in it, it's, every drop is wrung out of it.
Oh, wow.
Until it's bone dry.
Oh, okay. Scared me then.
Anyway, at the end of that show, all the cast stand on stage together and wave.
How do they?
Like they're on the back of a float at a carnival.
So maybe this is what I want, though.
Yeah,
but then do the crew come out and wave?
I don't think so, but you do get the sense that they're all there going, "Oh, guys, we did it! Yeah, we know you did it. You did it, every week. That's what you do. It's your job." Like we
maybe all the writers could come out. The producer, give it a little
they
wave.
Don't let, this is nothing my wife has noticed about the difference between American and British TV. The attractiveness level at which people are allowed on screen is very different.
Oh, yes, I've heard her mention that. Yeah.
So I don't think they'd be letting a lot of those writers on screen.
That's really sad. Some of them. And they should.
Well, they do. Mm. The ones who meet the criteria go on to great things.
Mm.
But I think a lot of them are kept in darkened rooms.
Right.
That was standing ovations. I went on quite a long time with that, didn't I? I was going to read another one of these clippings, but I wonder if I should now. Should I just tell you about this one?
Go on then.
I like this, Annabelle. This was from The Guardian, and it's a story that a cat made history this week. A cat called Taters. And it was the first cat video in space. So NASA HQ down on Earth sent a 15-second video of taters in Ultra HD, which travelled almost 19 million miles from a probe back to Earth. So I guess they bounced it to this probe and then back again to see if you could, in fact, beam video through space. And you have said on this podcast before now, and in real life, I wouldn't be very interested in becoming a space tourist or being a pioneer colonising another planet.
No.
And what I've realised is a large part of that would be the in-flight entertainment. And this bodes well.
Because you can watch animal videos.
Oh, and so they've proven that you can now stream video to space.
Oh, okay. Oh, not just any video.
Because it talks about like going to the moon. Or I think, what would I do, though? I'd be able to watch.
Watch. I want to look out the window and watch stuff.
Let me tell you something. Have you ever been on a plane and like gone over the Alps? Or seen something extraordinary at a plane window?
Right.
Right? That's happened, yeah?
Yeah.
And when you see it, you're like, oh, it's the Alps! And you're looking at them and it's amazing. How long does that go on for?
Yeah, eventually you go back to your film.
How long is eventually?
I don't know, 30 seconds.
Yes. So I think if you're in space and you saw the Earth from space and you're thinking about the fact that all of humanity and everything you know about history and culture and life and everything we've ever achieved and everything that's ever mattered to you, you're looking at it and you're detached from it and it would be a profound experience. But that profound experience would not last longer than 15 minutes.
Oh, 15 minutes.
You keep coming back to you.
Yeah, but you
wouldn't, you'd get bored staring at it. You would get bored and then you'd want to watch something. And I've always thought, well, you can't get the internet in space.
But
now you can, thanks to Tatus the cat.
So is this a new thing for you, maybe?
Yeah, it's one great leap for me.
Well, great.
Towards becoming a space tourist.
Look forward.
Or colonising another planet.
Brilliant.
Annabelle?
Yeah.
Have the Drifters been writing into us?
Oh, man. Remember last week and I suggested that maybe it'd be very nice to have some Christmas stories this week?
I do remember that, yeah.
Oh, God. Inundated.
Really?
Inundated.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Inundated.
So it's not just my sleigh bells then?
Honestly, inundated to the extent that I, you know, I can only use two. We only got two. Okay. First one's from Ian. Your plea for a Christmas-related instance made me remember something I did one year at the work Christmas dinner. We were going to a much posher restaurant than we normally had. Previously, it had been a pretty standard pub, and I was pretty unsophisticated 20 years ago and preferred the standard pub. Still do, to be honest. We were sitting around the table and our food came out with just the meat, Yorkshire pudding and potatoes on the plate, and a dish of vegetables was popped down next to me. This dish of vegetables was a large portion for one person, but not too large as to ring an alarm. And I love veg, so I simply tutted to myself as to why they didn't just put it all on the plate and decanted it onto my dinner. At the same time as this, I noticed the dish at the other end of the table being passed around half a dozen people and realised it should have been shared. I went extremely red, the eyes of the people at my end of the table burning into me, and was saved by someone more extrovert calling the waiter over and asking for extra veg.
Phew.
So another dish came out for the rest.
Phew.
Although I had a nice big dinner and no one missed out, it still makes me cringe. Poor Ian. And from Holly, who says, a Christmas tale that may well be my drifter origin story.
Ooh.
I was around 10 years old. It was the late 90s and it was nearly Christmas. We were putting the decorations up, having a lovely family day, enjoying the festivities together, listening to our old favourite Capital FM. At the time, the two main DJs were Chris Tarrant and Dr. Fox. Mm. My dad's favourite Christmas song was Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea. With some egging on from my dad, I phoned the memorised number for Capital and somehow made it through to being live on air.
Wow.
I was famous. I had a nice chat with the DJ. He asked me what I wanted for Christmas, an inflatable chair, of course, and what song I wanted to request. I told him. He said, no problem. I asked if I could have his autograph. Did that used to be a thing? And said, thanks, Chris. Happy Christmas. Actually, it's Dr. Fox. You're thinking of our other DJ, Chris Tarrant.
Oh, no.
Mortifying. My one chance to be cool and famous on the radio.
Oh, no.
Luckily, my parents had recorded the whole thing on a tape cassette and they played it for anyone and everyone who came over for what seemed like years. My dad would helpfully always say, "Why didn't you just say you got confused with Chris Rea?" As if that would have been any less humiliating. And as if my 10-year-old brain would have worked that quickly to cover myself.
I love that. Your dad didn't just say, "Oh, it doesn't matter." You must just say, "Why didn't you do this?
Why didn't you do this? This would have been a good idea." I'm 36 now, and every time I hear that song, I still cringe a little inside. Well, thank you, Drifters. I asked for Christmas stories. You flooded me with them, and they were my favourite too.
That's great. I've been on the other end of that.
Oh, people calling you the wrong name.
And it's never not funny.
No.
It's always like,
it sounded like Dr. Fox was shirty about it. That could have been her interpretation.
Yeah, it would be mine as well. I think I only met that guy once, and I think he was perfectly fine. But I think
why wouldn't you just ignore it?
I suspect there was an ego there. I think anybody who gives themselves, actually, I know that nickname was given to him, but anybody who readily goes by a nickname and like learns to fly helicopters,
right,
and wears garish clothes, possibly with their own name on them and stuff, and like drives around on a Harley Davidson. That suggests that somebody getting the name wrong is going to hit hard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so her interpretation probably was correct. Yeah. Okay.
Send us your email, please. Because we're off for a couple of weeks now, aren't we? We always have a couple of weeks off at Christmas.
I'd love to come back to a full inbox, please.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Is that your New Year's resolution?
Yeah,
to
read more emails.
Yeah. So please help that come true for Annabelle.
Please.
Hello at adriftpodcast.com. Santa baby, hide a Substack under the tree.
Oh.
For me, what's going on your Substack this week?
Oh.
Santa baby, all I want is a subscription to Annabelle's Substack.
What a wonderful Christmas present that would
be. Lovely, wouldn't it?
That never occurred to me. Yeah, you could gift that to somebody. Yeah. What a great idea. Annabelleport.substack.com. Bit weird, quite normal. Just Googling my name.
So I tell you what is a bit weird, but maybe quite normal. Mm. You don't seem to have a problem with Christmas songs being unlucky when they're encouraging people to read and subscribe to your Substack.
No problem at all. Although maybe it's bad luck and everyone's going to unsubscribe now and it's your fault. I'm very superstitious about this, if anyone listens to this in July. Substack this week, I'm talking about how I much prefer an artificial Christmas tree. And there will be references and a photograph of, do you remember last year, my homemade tree, when I stayed in an Airbnb with no tree? And so we improvised and made our own out of a clothes horse. That was a bit special, wasn't it? So there's a photograph of that as well.
Yep.
So if you want to see that, go on my Substack.
I feel that that's the sort of thing that a newspaper would have picked up on. If that had been left in an Airbnb by the owner, that would have gone viral. Is this the world's saddest Christmas tree?
It was a beautiful thing.
It was not
beautiful.
Anyway, I encourage people to take a look for themselves.
Okay. Oh, and for my go and ask me about not fully functioning. I don't know.
Oh, are we still doing that?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I want to hear about your Substack.
Oh no, I'd finished.
I know. Go on then. Tell us about this old not functioning adult thing. Christmas edition.
It's a Christmas edition.
Good.
It's the Christmas special. I'm going to be talking about my son's school nativity play. Now, when people talk about the joys of parenting, why don't they mention this? Like, I'd say every bad bit I'd experienced over the last 6 years was more than made up for by his half-hour school nativity show now that he's in year one. It was half an hour of pure joy.
Even the bits when he wasn't speaking.
I loved every second of it. I found just insanely joyful. Afterwards, I said to another mum sitting behind me, I said, "Oh, I could have watched that all day." And she said, "Maybe not all day. Maybe twice." And I agreed because I wanted her to like me. And I went, "Yeah, actually, you're right. A whole day might be a bit much, but I could easily have done a
good
whole
day." Good
comeback. Yeah. I could have easily done one a whole day. Easily. Because there's so much to look at.
Yeah, there is.
Like, I'd focus solely on my son for the whole morning. And then I'd start looking at the other kids in the afternoon. And then the evening and night, I'd go back to my son. As when I said whole day, I truly meant 24 hours. I loved it that much. When he said what part he had, like in the months running up to it, there was quite a long run up, he said that he was the narrator I nearly fainted. I thought, oh my God, they think he can either remember great swathes of text or read great swathes of text. And even though I know he can do neither, I'm thinking they must think he's a genius. And he's only just turned 6. And then he said, narrator number 36. There's 41 of them and they had one or two lines each. But I do love that everyone got a part though. That's so nice. Mm. I was very worried, though, because I was a mess at his first Christmas show in reception. And that's just group singing. There wasn't any kind of talking or anything. I was stunned at the emotion I felt. When he walked in, I completely welled up with tears. Aww. Who am I? I thought. What will I be like when he's got a solo? I was a little bit annoyed that he didn't get a proper part, like right. Joseph, Shepherd, King, Angel, etc.
But don't mean to chaff, but my son was a king.
I know.
In Bethlehem Bandits.
Bethlehem Bandits!
It was
a modern...
modern take on the...
Okay. Yeah.
He was king number one.
Oh, number one.
That he shared with another girl. I think it's because we go to these... We've got kids who go to these schools in a city where not necessarily the class sizes, but the year group sizes are enormous.
Right, right.
So to make it work,
they have to share roles.
Yeah, so they spoke in unison.
Oh, and was he happy with her delivery? Was it?
Well, I'll tell you something. Sarah got very stage mum.
Right.
Because his line, he opened the scene with, "These camels need some rest. Otherwise, they're going to get the hump."
Oh, he had a joke.
It's great joke.
Oh, my God.
And you need a pause after get some rest and a kind of knowing. Yeah. Sarah really coached him through how to do the pause and then lean into the audience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the girl who was speaking in unison with didn't want to do the pause.
Oh, she didn't have comedy in her bones.
I never like to hear people speaking in unison.
No, it's a terrible thing. God.
So there were six kings.
Oh my gosh, that's a crowded stage.
Whoa! I mean, but these were the plum parts because when it was the bandits, the titular bandits of the Bethlehem, just like gang, like huge mobs of like 40 kids.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. So he did have a starring role.
Yeah,
really.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little like it stung a bit at first, but then I saw the costume list and the narrators just needed a Christmas jumper and the other parents had to faff around with stuff like all white clothes and I was so relieved. This is how lazy I am. I'd rather my son didn't have a good part so I didn't have to bother sorting out a costume. Now,
I felt bad because he had to have a costume.
Yeah.
And you could see some of the other costumes. The parents were just crafty people. I was just straight on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Wear it once, going in the bin. Oh.
I'm sure it's very nice. I'm going to give you the review of my son's performance that I'm confused as to why The Guardian's Michael Billington hasn't written yet. He was a triumph. He was so loud and clear and confident. I am bewildered that nobody was mentioning it. I kept checking the class WhatsApp for messages about how great he was. Nothing. Nobody mentioned it. Almost like it was just my perception of how amazing he was.
No, there's another WhatsApp where people are like saying like really mean things because they're jealous of how great he was.
Oh, of course they were jealous.
Yeah, tall poppy syndrome. They're going to try and bring him down.
I mean, probably they were just looking at their own child. When they do the 24 hours performance that I'll start campaigning for, they'll notice him when they get bored of their own child. I do have some criticism, though. I think like yours, it wasn't the traditional telling of the nativity story. Mm. It was something about a star not shining bright enough. Honestly, I've got no idea of the story as the other narrators weren't quite as loud and clear as my child.
Oh, yeah, I've got no idea what happened in Bethlehem Bandits.
Like zero. Yeah. And I do think it's risky doing a different story. Like, will everyone just want the classic? And I didn't know any of the songs. It all seemed like new material.
Yeah.
But having said that, I do have some issues with the classic. The Virgin Mary, I hate how she's identified by her, how she's defined by her lack of sexual experience in a way that Joseph is not. It could be that I'm bitter about never being Mary at school. If in the 80s you wanted to know if you're pretty or not, you just wait to find out if you're Mary. It's different times, really, wasn't it? And maybe it's because it's the only explicitly female role and all the non-pretty girls can look more boyish because it is a very male cast. You've got Joseph, baby Jesus, kings / wise men, angel Gabriel, that's a boy's name. I do know shepherds can be female, but honestly, name a famous female shepherd.
Yeah.
Now name a shepherd. All I could think of was that
Sybil Shepherd.
That doesn't count. What about that boy in Heidi? He was a shepherd, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Peter.
And then actually...
I think he's more of a goat herd, but...
Oh, he was a goat herd. You can be a goat shepherd, can't you? Yeah. Or maybe not. It's a goat herd, isn't it?
There's the one who cried wolf.
Well, I was thinking... I was thinking actually Little Bo Peep, because that's a girl shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
But I hate her because she's the only famous female shepherd and she's really bad at it, like always losing the sheep, and that's embarrassing.
So people are like, oh, this is what happens if you let a woman be a shepherd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like when I drive. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to finish with something truly tragic. Mm. At my son's school, they only do a nativity play in year one. That was it. That was my one. That was my one look at it. That was my one nativity play.
But there's going to be so.
They just do songs. They just do a concert.
That sounds better.
I think it is not.
I prefer it,
no,
really.
It's not. I know. I want him to be Joseph, but doesn't need a costume.
Not going to happen.
No. The thing I'm really trying to say is it too late for me to have another child? I just want to see more nativity plays.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's have a look at some more of these clippings that you sent me. This is from BBC Wales. Christmas, reads the headline. Christmas, colon. Cardiff gran who charges family ups her prices. This is a story about Caroline Duddridge, who charged her family for Christmas dinner last year. She's raised the prices for 2023. Previously, she made adults pay, intriguingly, up to £15. So I think it's like progressive taxation, where those with the broadest shoulders carry the most.
Feels fair.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Well, her youngest grandchildren got a £2.50 bill each. I'm presuming...
Parents had to pay.
I don't know, like two of them were... Yeah, okay, three-year-olds.
Mm.
But they... Yeah, parents were allowed to pay.
Okay.
Otherwise, they could just offer to wash up. Does that still happen? Like people go into a fancy restaurant and eating a whole meal, and then when the waiter comes with a bill, they get out a bottle of washing up liquid and say, "Morning fresh." Oh, actually, that never happened apart from in one advert that I remember, and nobody else does.
Oh no, I remember it. But you should try it.
I did feel there was a trope of people not being able to pay bills and then having to wash up in a restaurant.
Those adverts be like it should be in now. Like,
well, I think it'd be a fair deal because it would just be loading a very fast industrial dishwasher these days, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it gets done by hand.
Yeah, so you know, go treat yourself to a 3-star Michelin deal, meal deal.
Meal deal, yeah, all those meal deals.
Early deal, meal deal. Early, yeah. Go for the evening full price.
Mm.
And then at the end say, "I'd like to wash up, please." See what happens. Email us, let us know.
Yeah, please do.
Sounds very drifterish. let's have a look here. Caroline described a general food shop in the current climate as just horrifying. And, you know, it's talking about the cozy lives.
Is that what people are calling it?
Somebody emailed the other day and used the phrase cozy lives.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, cost of living.
Uh-huh.
So I do understand it if you've got a big family. I think there's something suspicious to me about that this story is in the public domain.
Mm.
Because really, I think the story is, somebody said, "Hey, we'll do our big family Christmas, but it's getting so expensive.
Mm.
Would everyone mind chipping in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's what I think's fair."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somehow,
mm.
I mean, I don't know if she's got a PR or whatever, a publicist. But like, what? How did this end up in the paper?
It would have been a Facebook post that went viral. That's what it would have been. But isn't that what all stories are now these days?
Yeah,
Social media gone viral.
Yeah. I think that sort of annoys me about it a little bit is that if you remember, the first sentence of the story was a grandmother who charged a family for Christmas dinner last year has raised her prices for 2023. Now, this lady is 63.
Mm.
Not, of course, that doesn't preclude her from being a grandmother.
No.
My sister is younger than I am and she is a grandmother.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But there's a way these things get reported. When they use a word like grandmother, like that, they're trying to evoke a strange old lady. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, they're trying to use the language to put the image in your mind like a like granny from Beverly Hillbillies or something.
But and it's also that thing of like, that's the last thing you expect a grandmother to, because grandmother's so warm and lovely and generous and kind. Grandmother.
Oh, she's also levelling up how much she mails bills male and female relatives to avoid being called sexist. I don't think she should, because there is a very real wage gap in this country. Ooh. Across a career. There's a huge gender pay gap.
She should reflect that.
Yeah, so I don't think she should feel bad about doing it. I'm sort of running out of steam with that. I'll be honest.
I love your honesty. Let's just go on to the next bit then.
Let's have a look at another one. Okay. I'll do this and then we'll move on. So this is exciting, I think.
Oh, okay.
We are the bookie's favourite. By we, I mean the United Kingdom. To win Eurovision next year.
Right, yeah.
Now, this hasn't happened. I don't know if it... I genuinely don't know if it's ever happened, like us being the bookies' favourite. Maybe not since there's been, like, more than five countries in the Eurovision. You know, like, when you watch old ones from the 60s, it's just like us, France, Italy, Sweden. Anyway. So we're the favourites to win. And it's because... Ollie Alexander is going to be our entry. Now, straight off the bat, big fan.
Okay.
Say big fan. I mean, I don't know that I could name any of the records.
I liked him in that Russell T Davies thing.
Great.
He's brilliant in
great,
that. And that's,
great.
All, that's all I know.
I couldn't
for.
Watch all of it because it was getting too sad.
It was extremely sad.
So you talk about It's a Sin.
Yeah, oh God, it was so good.
Watched the first episode and just like fell in love with the characters and thought, oh, I'm going to spend the next 4 weeks like watching these lovely boys die.
Oh.
And I don't think I can put myself... It was during COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, thought life is hard. I can tell this is brilliant, but I don't know that I can put myself through.
You should go back to that.
Yeah, I think I will.
Instead of watching one of those Christmas films over and over again. You probably feel happier afterwards. You sound like you're quite depressed after that last one.
Yeah. But I very much... Like, my son will watch his music videos from time to time. And Gene is a fan of him. I think he was a guest judge on an episode of Masked Singer, and Gene really latched onto
him. Okay.
And I thought, he seems lovely. He seems great. And he's got a couple of Years and Years songs on his playlist, and they're good pop songs. So I broadly speaking, in fact, I doesn't need any caveats. I root for Ollie Alexander.
Okay, good.
Fan overstates it, but I just feel very warmly towards him, and I wish him all the best in the world.
Okay.
I don't think being very famous is necessarily the thing that's going to win you the Eurovision Song Contest, though.
It makes me nervous.
It makes me nervous because, do you remember some years ago, Andrew Lloyd Webber entered the Eurovision Song Contest? And it was great. It was so great because there was this arrogance, like, oh, if we put Andrew... And obviously he doesn't sing.
No, he's just playing the piano.
But he played the piano. But he was on stage and it was a song he'd written, I think.
Yeah.
And the idea was...
Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
The world over, this man is adored. He is one of the most successful people to ever compose musicals. We'll put him in there. And despite the fact that we sneer about this whole thing and we act superior about this whole contest, every year we'll send Andrew Lloyd Webber and they'll lap him up.
It's so competitive.
And do you know what?
What?
They didn't.
No,
it wasn't. And it was so great.
Came so last or something.
Yeah. Because he's not somebody I root for.
No.
I mean, I know that he's very engaged in politics because he's in the House of Lords, to the extent that when the Conservatives wanted to implement benefit cuts and spending cuts, which would affect the poorest people in society, he flew back from New York especially to vote for those measures to be implemented because he's a Conservative Lord. So he really cares about politics.
Okay.
So, you know, it's good that he's so invested in his beliefs.
Wow.
And that, you know, he helped that happen.
Yeah.
So I was really rooting for him not to do well in the Eurovision Song Contest. It was so wonderful. I do love looking at his face, though.
Oh, he's fascinating.
I never tire of that face.
I could watch that over and over again. Just a video on repeat. Yeah, I could do that.
Have you watched Eurovision, the film?
Not yet.
The Will Ferrell one?
No, you keep telling me to. I will.
I must have watched that 15 times.
Oh, God.
Very funny. Hey, why don't I have a Eurovision party this year?
Yes, I'll come.
But do you understand that I'll be inviting you and Rudy and Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
And probably no one else.
Bit late for Rudy, just be me.
No, I think... Do you not to let him stay up for some things?
Yeah, up to 9 maybe. Eurovision goes on for hours.
What would it's
on
be?
To like 11.
Well, it'll be... Six.
I went to a Eurovision party last year and I had to leave before the voting had finished because I was too tired.
Oh my God, no, I keep Gene up. He's falling asleep. So come on, they're doing the voting. They're going to go to Riga next.
But yeah, you should do.
Okay. Also, sorry, just to wang on about this. Here's why I think Pride comes before a fall.
Mm.
It is the Eurovision Song Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not. It's not the Eurovision Fame Contest.
No.
And they haven't found a song yet, have they?
Oh, have they not?
I'm not saying they haven't found a song. Maybe they've found a song. But nobody knows what that song sounds like if it has already been chosen.
Why are they saying we're the favourites then? It's ridiculous.
Because they think because we've put a famous British pop star in.
So
oh, everyone will love it. Like they did with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, it's going to end so badly.
All right, Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic here in Problematic.
Graham's first. I don't do social media. My wife does have a Facebook account, but only uses it for catching up on the gossip and messaging people. She rarely posts. She definitely doesn't post pictures of our children. Over the Christmas period, we will be visiting my brother with our 3 kids. My parents will also be there. I can guarantee that while we are there, my sister-in-law will want to take a picture and this picture will be posted to Facebook within minutes of us leaving. We'd rather not have ourselves posted on Facebook. I know you can untag yourself, but that's not the point. We can't ask my sister-in-law not to. She posts regularly with pictures of herself and family. And so she would find it incomprehensible that anyone wouldn't want to have their picture online. What can we do?
Oh, this is the thorny one. I feel like really, I've got so many like conflicting opinions on this whole issue. So number one, my son's school has an Instagram account and I love it if he's ever on the Instagram. I get so excited.
Mm.
I also see that there is, I think maybe like one kid in the school whose parents have clearly said, we don't consent to our child being on the Instagram account. So they put like a smiley face emoji over that kid's face if there's ever a group photo.
Mm.
And I think, who do you people think you are? What's so special about your kid that it shouldn't be on the Instagram? I get annoyed by it,
mm-hmm.
even though I think people's privacy is a choice and it should be respected.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think like the name of the person who sent this in.
Graham.
Like Graham, I get irritated by the narcissism of people putting up their lives on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I find it deeply annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I do a job where the truth of it is to keep the wheels turning. You have to make yourself a, and they said a really bad word then, but I hate this. I'm spitting this word out of my mouth.
Mm.
A brand, and you have to show them a bit of your life and your story.
Mm.
So, like, I find myself thinking, just out having a nice time in the world, and thinking, oh, I could maybe take a picture of this and put it on Instagram, and then people would like me, and maybe my career would start going better again. It's like really depressing. Mm. I hate it,
mm-hmm.
but I do also take part a little bit in that. But I have great self-loathing for doing so.
Okay.
But then also there are other people's lives that I really love looking, getting a glimpse into them.
Me too.
It's when I feel like people are commodifying their lives, I'm not at all interested. And when it feels phony and staged.
Mm.
But if I just like see someone's got a friend around and then I can have a look at what books are on the shelves or what the kitchen's like.
Mm.
I like that. It's all this jumbled up stuff, right?
Okay.
And then in terms of our son, I never put his face on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah does sometimes on her stories, which are the ones which vanish after a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I act superior in our marriage because I don't do it. And I sort of make her feel bad about herself for doing that.
Okay.
But like every other parent in the world, I look at my son's face and think, this is so beautiful. The world should see this. So I quite like it if somebody else puts him on social media.
Oh, this is very complex.
Isn't it?
Very.
Yeah. Mm. So.
But let's move on to Graham.
So how.
He decided that he doesn't want it.
Yeah. So first thought, who do you think you are, Graham? I get it. It feels like narcissistic, but
I do get it.
Yeah,
I don't like it either.
No, but you've found yourself humiliating yourself online for clicks, haven't you?
Mm. Oh yeah,
yeah, I've seen it.
Yep, thanks. but we're talking about me and not my son. He's talking about his children,
right?
Mostly.
Yes, yeah. But there's sort of an air of like we don't want to be any part of this. So say Rudy goes to another kid's birthday party.
Mm.
How are you feeling if somebody takes a picture of the kids enjoying themselves and puts it on Facebook?
I don't know that that's ever happened. So, but I don't mind. Yeah, I don't think people do that. I don't think people I know do that.
But people do.
Okay, well, maybe they have done it. I just haven't seen those pictures then.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't know because I'm not friends with any of those mums on Facebook. So I just wouldn't know.
But how would you feel? How would you
feel? If someone said, oh, I saw a picture of... I think, what was he wearing? God, was he in a football kit? Did his hair look all right? Like, I don't know. I just, yeah.
Ethically, what would you feel?
So they should have asked my permission first. Yeah, I guess.
But why, though?
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't know why it matters. I think part of what I feel uncomfortable about is that... I have a very lax attitude towards privacy, as anyone who listens to this podcast will know, because I'm sort of all out in the open apart from the stuff that isn't. Mm. So I'm quite extreme with what I don't mind being shared publicly, but I do like to be in control of it. Mm. I like to be the one doing the sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But I generally... Like privacy isn't, I just don't care about it for, I think, you know, but that is a privileged position to be in. Almost like willfully negligent privilege by not thinking about the implications for different people. But I do feel with kids, something doesn't sit well with me. About being the one making the decision. So, in other words, when people use their kids to get clicks and likes and show off their perfect lives and make their families into a brand, I don't like the fact that a kid doesn't get a say in that and can't go back and change it once it's happened. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So I think a kid should be allowed privilege. A kid should be allowed privacy until they're old enough to make the decision whether they want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the stuff, the school thing feels different somehow,
mm-hmm.
even though it is an Instagram page that I guess you could go and look at if you wanted to. Like, it's not locked, I don't think, for
Can I
parents.
Just stop you one moment and say, is all this, you suggesting Graham says this to his sister-in-law?
I'm trying to have a conversation.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of people, when you say things, they're like, we'll give you a thought back and then you'll say, respond. But you're just sitting there like, I'm wanging on with myself, which I quite possibly am. I'm trying to work it out in real time. But like, I really don't know what I think about it.
I think Graham's made up his mind, though. He just doesn't want it and he wants to know how to stop it. Are you trying to change his mind? Trying to persuade him that maybe it's not so bad?
I'm trying to think through it. So how would you handle it if one of Tom's siblings was acting like this then?
Well, I'm just thinking like what Graham could do. I'm not thinking what I could do. He could maybe, if you didn't want to, he says he doesn't want, he can't feel like he confront her and say it. He says we can't ask her not to, but she posts, you can't ask her not to. If you can't ask her not to, could you make your child so that she wouldn't want to post it? She would think that's too hideous and disgusting. Maybe... your child could always have profanities written on their face. I don't know. It's in some way that they don't want to use that
so
picture.
So you're saying scrawl the C word
yes,
in Sharpie
yes,
on
yes.
your child's head.
I'm saying that. I'm yeah. saying that. She'll never put that picture up.
Well, she would get a lot of clicks if she did.
Oh, God. Then maybe it would go very, very badly.
All right, we've done a great job answering that one. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, let's go on to... Oh, this is a non. Every year for the decade we've known each other for a certain... No. Every year for the decade we have known each other, a certain friend and I exchange gifts at Christmas and birthdays. I always choose something that I know she likes. I pick it carefully for her. However, the ones she gives me, I suspect, are mostly re-gifts. In recent years, for birthday and Christmas, she's given me about 4 or 5 glasses cases and similar repeat items. I have...
A glasses case is the worst... That sounds like a terrible present.
What's doing? Something to keep your glasses in?
Yeah.
Although mine is broken at the moment. No, it's not. It's not ideal.
You can just go and get one.
I know. It's not. It's not particularly interesting. No. I have boxes in my loft with these in, plus various ornaments that are just really not me. I can't take them
ornaments,
to
ornaments.
I know.
If it has a function, yes, I'm interested.
Yeah. If it doesn't, not interested. I can't take them to my local charity shop as she might spot them, so I have to wait and store them until we go down country and donate to shops down there. I suggested a couple of years ago that we maybe don't do presents anymore and let's just have a coffee together and swap cards, thinking maybe she'd be relieved as it could be a financial burden and is why she might be
re-gifting. I don't think it is a financial... Yeah, it's not a financial burden. She's already made that decision that she's not going to let it be with the second-hand glasses cases.
But she said she'd already got mine, so we abandoned that and I tried it again this year on my birthday, a bit earlier before it this time, in the hope that I got that in before she'd got something... But she said again, oh, I've got it already. This Christmas, I suggested we could just buy each other our favourite chocolate treat, which she seemed up for, except she said again she had a couple of things she'd already bought for me. We are meeting up to exchange just before Christmas. I feel like I better buy her something else as well as chocolate, as it sounds like she will have something else for me. And I think with sinking hearts, something else to store until I can take it to charity. I even suggested us making a donation to charity instead of swapping presents, but she seems adamant to give me these unwanted gifts. Am I just ungrateful? I mentioned it just after Christmas once she agreed, but she forgot by the time it came round the following year and bought the things again. What can I do? Anything. It seems a lot to me like she's using this as... She's using you as a charity shop.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly it. It feels like... It's not that, oh, she's so thoughtful that she's buying things months in advance. When she says, I've got you something, she's thinking, oh, I need to get some of this rubbish out of my house. I know I can palm it off on.
She's had it in her loft for years. Yeah. She's just got a big like thing of things she's gradually offloading onto you.
Because I think the chocolate's thoughtful.
Yeah.
And... I think it's not like it's going to be this embarrassing situation where she gives you something fantastic and you give her a bar of chocolate.
No.
Because the stuff she's giving is right old tat, isn't it?
She's going to give you a terrible ornament or another glass.
So give her the chocolate and be done with.
Oh, and then that that will set the precedent.
Yep. Yep. Never worry about the quality of what you're giving her because what she's giving you is so rubbish.
Yes.
I think.
And then just have to like... Except the fact you're going to have boxes of this stuff. Could she... No, she's too nice. I was thinking, could she do the same thing, re-gift it? But she's too nice for that, isn't she? She's never going to do that.
Yeah. Like, 20 years ago, I would have said, oh, just drop it in the bin on your way home. But, you know, I think more about sustainability now.
Yeah.
So it is, box in the garage, and then you're going to go cross county lines and take it to a charity shop in a different county.
Yeah. Sorry, it's the only option.
And that was our podcast, Sleigh Bells Ring. Oh, you're listening.
Oh, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. And we will see you in 2024 when I'll be saying Happy New Year. Yeah. Oh, it's a Christmas puddication from Tim Wood. I don't know if it's Christmassy at all, is it?
No, but it's from Tim Wood.
You know, and it's at Christmas.
Yeah, so that makes it Christmassy.
A nice to hear from Tim Wood.
Yeah.
Tim starts by saying, ahoy, hoy, Jeff and Annabelle now, and ahoy, hoy.
Oh, my God. You don't need to do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like to request a podication for my colleague and friend, Mimi. Just thinking, shall I start talking about John Lennon's Aunt Mimi?
Nah.
It's 10 to 11 at night. Annabelle really wants to go home. And she's thinking, please don't start talking about the Beatles after that long-winded thing you were doing where you were thinking about your opinions on privacy out in real time
I could...
a boring stream of consciousness. I recommended a podcast to her some time ago now, and so naturally was caught by surprise when she mentioned something that was discussed on it and confirmed she actually still listens.
Wow.
The only time I've had this success was recommending it to my wife, but I feel that this doesn't count, as she contractually has to at least feign an interest in the bizarre things I waffle on about.
Oh, that's weird. Tom doesn't. Yeah, he hasn't signed that contract.
Yeah, well, you know, you haven't put a ring on it, have you?
Oh, is that what it is?
But I can, but Sarah hasn't either.
Okay.
God, is that, I wish I'd put that in the vows.
Yeah, that contract. Damn it.
I'm so attentive. I can, like, tell you the name of somebody she went to primary school with. And I think I've got immediate family that she couldn't name.
Oh, God. Oh, you should do a little Mr. and Mrs. quiz.
Anyway, I'd like to podcast. If it was an emotional Mr. and Mrs. where she was like predicting how I would react in any situation, what my triggers are and what my attachment style is.
Very high.
Very high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But actual details about my life or being interested in things I talk about.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to podcast an episode to Mimi for just generally being a great pal. I really like the word pal has really grown on me in recent years.
Oh.
I like saying it a lot. A great pal and making work tolerable, even on those days when you feel like throwing your computer out the window and quitting in a blaze of foul language. Whether sending me funny screenshots or exchanging snarky comments in the middle of important company meetings, it wouldn't be half as much fun without you. Many thanks and all the best wishes. Tim Wood.
Well, she sounds like a good work colleague to have.
Oh, that's all you need. Just need one of those. Here's what you need in any workplace. You need one of those, and then you need one person who's universally despised.
Yeah, so you can unite against her. Well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? But it's true.
Yeah, yeah. Usually, but they can't be someone lower down the food chain.
No.
The higher up they are, the better.
And they have to be oblivious to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're so awful, they just would be oblivious
to it. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What did I... Let me... maybe this would be a nice way to finish the podcast for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Because it was very driftery. Do you ever read School of Life?
Yes.
Yeah, so I sort of follow them on social media and have a subscription on their app and stuff. And I saw something the other day and I thought it was great. A nice person, in inverted commas, a nice person just means someone who doesn't generally assume they're very nice.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Because if you're a thoughtful, nice person, you're not just assuming that everything you do is great and you're not a problem. You're thinking about your own behaviour and other people's feelings.
Oh, yes.
There we go.
Very good.
And I think Mimi's probably like that.
Sounds like it.
Tim? Jury's still out.
Oh, come on.
We know Tim. I don't think we know Tim. All right, there we go. Well, there we go. Another year over for Adrift. And thank you for your continued ears and support.
Yes.
And we wish you and your kith and kin, not just your kin, but your kith and kin,
both,
the merriest of Christmas. May your days be merry and bright and all your Christmases be white.
Is that plagiarism? No.
I think it's fair use.
Oh, fine.
News and review.
Fine.
Merry Christmas, Merry everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Oof.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Not locked out, are you?
There we go.
Gross.
Success.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.